For years, Lynn Mapes Reardon has volunteered in the parish ministries at St. Nicholas Catholic Church in the Chicago suburb of Evanston. She never thought about becoming a deacon, that is, until her parish sponsored a friend of hers, a man, for the diaconate. Mapes Reardon had an epiphany when she discovered a prayer to the Virgin Mary seeking Mary's intercession for men preparing to become deacons.
I just read that prayer because part of it was to help people understand what deacons do. And also, it just occurred to me, but Mary herself could not have been a deacon. But what had happened then is that then it got creeping into my own heart that all these things that we were praying for these deacons were all things that were similar to the prayers that I ask of myself to have me hear the word, and when I have an opportunity to proclaim it faithfully, to give myself in service to the people of God when that's called upon and how it's called upon, teaching them to know and value prayer. And these were all things that just spoke to my own heart at that time in my life and got stirring with me.
What were you doing in the parish at this point? What type of ministries were you already involved in?
Oh, I was a lector, and by then I was probably even part of the lector leadership team. I had been on liturgy boards and councils for many years, so very involved in liturgy.
Your parish did a very unusual thing in that it actually wrote a white paper arguing that women could be deacons and that it was, in fact, scripturally based. Who did this white paper?
So we put together a steering committee of people who were interested in this question and how we might bring it to our church, to the decision makers within our church. And so the group worked on the paper. It is mostly my handiwork, I'd have to say. We gave that to Cardinal George, and then we met with him.
You mentioned Cardinal Francis George, the late Cardinal of Chicago. What was his reaction? Was he simply stunned that someone would come in, people would come in with this white paper saying...
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, he was very welcoming. I found him completely charming, to tell you the honest truth. And more than just charming. I mean, he was truly our bishop. He was welcoming and wanted to hear from us. We had gone in with, you know, our short list of questions that we wanted to hopefully get a yes answer to. For example, would he support this? We got sort of a yes. It's not been approved yet kind of thing, or it's not approved, I can't do it. Would he take it to the Pope? Would he take it to Rome? And he said yes. So, and he said yes in a quick order of succession to the questions we had and the requests we had. So then it became a matter of sort of logistics. How does he do this? So he said he'd put in his written report, and he said he would bring it up to the extent he had the opportunity during his in-person meeting, but he didn't know whether that would be possible. I take him at his word that he did those things. That's where it was left with him.
Did Cardinal George have any misgivings about women in the diaconate?
The only misgiving he shared with us was of a potential theological hurdle, that he didn't know that the theology would support it.
What did that mean, that he didn't know if the theology would support it?
He was saying, I think, that this was not for him to decide. We have an International Theological Commission that's looked at it a couple of times, and the Pope.
What do you see as the main theology supporting the position that women should be restored to the diaconate because they were at one time deacons?
I'm not a scholar in this. I've done a fair amount of reading, and my own sense is that we were a church that relied on the gifts of all the very brave converts to Christianity as Christianity in itself was developing. And that included the gifts of women and their leadership roles. We were a house church at the beginning. Women ran the households, so it would not have been surprising that women would have had a significant role. And so what I understand is that there's strong evidence that when it came to baptizing and anointing women, maybe because, and certainly makes sense to me, that it might have been because of modesty-type rules, because this was all done when people, they did it naked back then. The women would, of course, been attending to women, and men would have been attending to the men. So when I then fast forward to the restoration of the diaconate in the 1960s, post-Vatican II, early 70s, I guess, we restored the permanent diaconate. I don't know personally if exactly what we restored was exactly what the deacons were doing back in the early part of the church. I suspect it's extraordinarily similar. But I think our theology now about recognizing the gifts of all the baptized and now trying to call forth the gifts of those who feel called to this service to the church, we would see that in women also and want to recognize it, but may not so much recognize it, but also affirm it and have it be a part of our church life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly what women might have been doing back in the early part of the church, or are we going to reflect our current times?
What do you think you as a woman would bring to the role of deacon?
One is just access. I think of one of the examples we give in the position paper is a good one. You're an elderly woman and you want the comfort of the service of a deacon in your apartment, maybe an anointing of the sick, but you're leery to have a man you don't know come into your apartment. That's just access. I think of a couple getting married. Another example in the position paper, the perspectives of a wife and a woman when roles are differentiated in our society.
Do you think women bring a different sensibility than men to ordained ministry?
They bring their own sensibility. I think each deacon would bring his or her own sensibility. With that said, there are definitely times where we have moments in our lives when the women sort of see something and the guys don't see it. So why would we want to overlook that gift, I guess?
What about the woman's perspective in preaching? Would that not bring perhaps a fresh or a new perspective to cracking open the Gospels for people?
I think it will bring something new, but I want to be clear that it's not something that is hidden yet. I think we should be preaching the Gospel in our daily lives. So it's not that it's not happening, it's just not happening in that formal liturgical setting. But I do think that as a group, we have something to add.
You may be the first woman in the United States who actually has put forth her name to be a woman deacon. You may end up being the Rosa Parks of this whole episode.
I don't know. I don't know what conversations. I mean, formally, I went and I talked to my highest level bishop. I live in a large city. I have an archbishop here. I went and talked to my highest level bishop. But I don't know what other women have done going to talk to their bishops. I don't know.
If it comes to pass that the Catholic Church says women can be deacons, do you think this will open the floodgate and there will be a rush of women wanting to be deacons?
I can only hope so. We would benefit from that. I think there is a group of women who went through the formation programs when their husbands did that their communities would say, to them, we'd like for you to also go get ordained. Their communities may say, Debbie and Paula and whoever it may be, we would like you to do this also because the diaconate, we're really called by our community. And I felt very much called by my community.
Do you think this will open the door to women priests in the Catholic Church?
That's not an open question in our church right now. And it doesn't need to be in order to answer this question.
We've been talking with Lynn Mapes Reardon. She is, as she describes herself, a wife, a mother, and an attorney, but someone who is also interested in taking the training to become a deacon in the Catholic Church if that becomes open to women. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome, Judy.
I'm Judy Valente.